Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Man, I sure hate the Astros. Whitey Gleason, Jason Dumas with you on 95.7 The Game. A glorious, glorious sports weekend. Coming up, I don't know if you even remember this, Jason, but a few weeks ago, you threw out a question that was, it's one of my favorite questions I've ever dealt with on the radio ever. You were asking about the most overrated quarterback of all time, and I think you said Troy Aikman, didn't you?
Yeah, I stand on that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering here, coming up, we have a guest that I'll introduce in just a second here, but I'm wondering if we can look at the other side of that, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the most underrated quarterback of all time. So we will circle back to that.
Yeah, I'll have to think on that. That's a good one. There's a couple that come to mind.
All right, yeah. So that's the plan, is to circle back to that as we get ready for the 49ers and the Packers tomorrow night. Nice enough to join us with more on that game. 49er beat writer, founder and CEO for the Fangirl Sports Network. She's known in some circles as Debbie the Dodger fan, but I think the less said about that, the better. Welcome back to the show, Tracy Sandler. How are you, Tracy?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. Thanks for your time. All kidding aside, 49ers here, 2-0, as you know, the backfield banged up. How would you sum up right now, two games in here, what, in your opinion, is the state of the 49ers?
I actually think the 49ers are in better shape than it seems. Granted, they have lost, you know, three starters in the last couple weeks to injury. I mean, they've actually lost a number, more than that at this point to injury. They do have a very banged up backfield, but one thing that Kyle Shanahan has always been able to do in this offense is recover at the running back position. So although it's not as it looked a couple weeks ago and is a little bit dicey, I do have confidence that they will be able to run the football.
Yeah, Tracy, we're at that weird juncture of the season where, you know, we're still feeling these teams out, you know, not just the Niners, but every team in the NFL. And for a lot of these starters, this is almost still like preseason for them, because a lot of starters across the league barely even played in the preseason. Just, you know, almost 3 weeks in, and come tomorrow, what is your read on this 49ers team? Are they better than you expected at this point? Worse? About average? Because me personally, I still don't have a great read on the team.
I think they are pretty much as good as I thought they would be. I do think that this is a potential Super Bowl roster if they could stay healthy, which of course has been difficult these last few weeks, but there is more depth on this team than I think maybe we saw in years past. But I think they're about as good as we thought they would be. They've found ways to win those first two games. Neither of them were particularly pretty, but they figured it out and they found ways to win, which does remind me a little bit of 2019, especially in those first couple weeks of the season. Well, you know, week one, week two, obviously, was quite the blowout of a team that ended up being a very bad Bengals team. But I do think that this team looks about as good as we thought they would be. I think tomorrow is a really big test for both of these football teams, because you had the Packers, who looked terrible in week one, looked much better on Monday Night Football against the Lions, but playing a team that probably not as the caliber of the 49ers. So I think tomorrow is a huge statement for both of these teams as to if they are for real. I do think the 49ers win this game. I think it'll be relatively close, but I do think they win this game.
K, catching up with Tracy Sandler, 49er beat writer for FGNS. Tracy, were you surprised we didn't see Trey Lance in Philly? And what's your best guess? Do you think we'll see much of him tomorrow?
I wasn't super surprised we didn't see him in Philly. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's been pretty clear that it's going to be situational, and I don't know that the situation really, you know, called for it. I think the offense is having trouble getting into a rhythm, so you don't want to cause more issues by switching out quarterbacks. I think tomorrow we probably will see more of him because of the aforementioned running back position. They may need Trey Lance to come in and, you know, and play in those spots like he did week one a little bit more than they did last week. So I would be more surprised if we don't see Trey Lance tomorrow.
Tracy, if you don't want to name a specific player, we can go position group, but either player or position group in the early season, who has been the most disappointing, in your opinion, for the 49ers in the early season that you expected more or you hope can get going as we move on in the season?
You know what? And maybe this is, people are going to say, well, she is 49ers fangirl. She is going to say that. But I don't know that I would say there's anybody that's been disappointing. I think we all would like to see more Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
I think we'd all like to see him more involved in the offense. I'm not ready to say he's disappointing yet because we are only going into week three here. I know I keep repeating myself about the running game. That's going to change things a lot. So I think we'll see him more involved. So I don't want to say that he's the most disappointing player, but I think we all would like to see him more involved because he obviously is an incredibly talented wide receiver. We saw him in his rookie year and all the makings of potentially being a superstar. So I think we'd like to all see that happen for him. And that's obviously a benefit for the team.
Tracy Sandler with us from FGSN. Tracy, what do you make of all the chatter that has reemerged this week about how close the 49ers may have come to actually acquiring Aaron Rodgers? A lot of chatter in the preseason. And we know that Kyle Shanahan says, you know, that he did his due diligence on it. And there was some reports maybe out of Aaron Rodgers' management people right before the draft that he wanted to come here. What do you think of that? You think anything was ever really possible on that front? And what do you think Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers should make of that?
I'm not sure it was ever really possible. I don't think Green Bay was ever really willing to do it. I'm not surprised it came up this week because, of course, they are playing the Packers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the kind of thing. It's kind of like last year when Tom Brady became available. When there's a quarterback of that caliber, teams are going to do their due diligence. I don't think that that's so shocking or surprising. Do I think there was ever really any chance of Aaron Rodgers coming to San Francisco? No, and probably because Green Bay was a non-starter for the Packers, understandably so. But, it, you know, it's not really that surprising that it came up this week of all weeks. And, you know, I bet after this week that'll be really probably the last we hear of it, unless, of course, the 49ers play the Packers again in the playoffs. Because now everybody can talk about this as opposed to how the 49ers didn't draft Aaron Rodgers. That used to be the storyline. So now there's like a whole new storyline that we could focus on. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the 49ers are very happy with, very comfortable with their quarterback position. We've seen a very efficient Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance being able to come in those situations that we discussed earlier. I think they're in very good shape under center.
Well, Tracy, we love you for your 49ers coverage, but before we let you go, we know you're a loud and proud Dodgers fan, so I have to ask you one question just regarding some baseball. What have you made of just this playoff race between the Giants and the Dodgers? It's like must-see TV every night. How do you see it playing out, and just what's your overall perspective of the race that we've seen this year?
Well, aside from the fact that it causes me massive anxiety and I live and die by these games on a nightly basis, I think for baseball and for baseball fans, it is so exciting and so fun. We've not really seen a pennant race quite like this, certainly not on the NL West in quite some time. You know, one game back, I think there are, what, 8 games to go. You know, all signs point to the Giants winning the division, but It's going to be 2 days. If the Giants lose 2 days and the Dodgers win on those 2 days, then everything changes. But I think all signs at the moment, although it breaks my heart to say it, point to the Giants winning the division, Dodgers being the wild card, and then them meeting in the playoffs for, I believe, the first time ever.
Yeah.
It's going to be great
for you. Good for you. How about the Dodger fan? I give you a lot of credit, Tracy, for saying, yeah, I think the – Giants going to pull it out. Tracy Sandler, check out her 49er work at Fangirl Sports Network. Thank you, Tracy. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tracy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Dave Roberts, course manager of the Dodgers, says, look, if it's a one-game play-in or if it's the wild card or game one of the divisional round, he says Max Scherzer will be our pitcher. So, you know, unless they have to change things up there depending on where they are in the standings. But Dave Roberts says if it's the Giants and the Dodgers in a wild card game or if it's Giants and Dodgers in a series, that Max Scherzer will be the game one starter. So that's going to give you
– it's so tough. Like, that's what they are so good. And shout out – I give a lot of kudos, not just to Tracy, but any individual who has a favorite team that is a rival of the city she lives, he or she lives, covers, or whatever the case may be, and stands on it. Because you get some people who just cheer in silence. She doesn't care. She'll let us know. I'm a Dodgers fan. You know, I try to stay away from the fandom as much as I can, just because of how I cover sports. I want to remain an objective reporter in most cases, but sometimes it's hard. You know, like, I'm a Sixers fan. There's no other way to say it. I grew up in Philadelphia. I went to Sixers games growing up. I went to Eagles games growing up. Flyers, Phillies, all of them. Now, I'm going to do my best to be an objective reporter. That's what I'm paid to do. I try to report facts and research and this, that, and the third. But we're also humans with emotion, as we said earlier in the show, Whitey. You know, like, if I have an emotional attachment to organizations. It's just, it is what it is. So shout out to Tracy for standing on her Dodgers fandom. It'd be really easy around these parts to kind of muffle that and keep it low.
Yeah, whatever. I guess you're right. I guess you're right. You know, as we talk about pennant races, and I've heard people talk about this may be the greatest pennant race ever. Just a real quick throwback moment. You know, it's not really a pennant race. That term comes from when they used to have no playoffs. And you had the National League, the American League, no divisions. And then if you had the best record, you won the pennant, which meant you win the league and you go to the World Series. And I'm not saying it was better then. I'm just saying there was a lot of drama when it came down, you know, when they have no playoffs. And it's like two teams are tied right at the end of the year. And like 1962, Giants, Dodgers, they had to have a three-game playoff to see who won the pennant, who would go to the World Series. And back then it was you win your league, you win the World Series. So there was nothing, you know, we're far removed from those days. This is very exciting, but even if, you know, as the Giants, we all know, if they don't win the division, they're still in the wild card. But there was a time when if you won the pennant, you were going to the World Series. That led also to a lot of teams being eliminated early. This is better for business, but it is a great, great race. And if we get to Tracy's point, first time in the baseball postseason era, the Giants against the Dodgers.
That was new. I didn't know that until she said it. I didn't know that. And I wasn't too keen. I just hadn't really looked at the situations and hadn't thought about it. But I didn't realize until Mark reminded me, the Brewers are likely going to have the easier path to a potential World Series than the Dodgers and the Giants. And that just does not feel right to me. Like,
yeah. And consider this, as Craig well knows, you know, Craig won money on his beloved Tampa Bay Bucks. And you remember before November last football season, they were okay, right? And then November, something clicked and they were the best team in football. And you know, I kicked myself because I picked the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and looking back at that game, it's like, how in the world did I pick that team with their offensive line issues? My point is this: you look at the baseball season right now, and the St. Louis Cardinals have won 14 in a row. So, you know, we've been thinking all year long, oh, it's the Giants, it's the Dodgers.
It's 15 now, by the way. They won today.
Oh, they won today? Okay, yeah. Thank you, wow. Sam. 15 in a row after beating the Cubs today. So, you know, does that mean that team now is a team we got to take seriously? It's phenomenal. Just, again, end of the year, a lot of teams they're really different teams than they were earlier in the year, whereas the Giants have just been the same excellent team all the way through.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it's been great to see. And, you know, like I said earlier in the show, Whitey, this is probably the most exciting baseball team that I have ever followed closely. It's just every different night. And I don't think they have. I mean, in my opinion, Whitey, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you won't. I don't think there's an unlikable player on the roster that I've seen, whether it's interviewing them or just watching them. They're all so likable.
Well, you remember when we had Joan Ryan on?
Yes.
And we were talking about chemistry.
Yeah.
And she said, I'll never forget this.
I got
she
that said, book.
Yeah. Is it pretty good?
I haven't opened it yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, at least you bought it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Joan Ryan said that she was talking to Brandon Belt about chemistry, and she asked which team had better chemistry, this team now, and this was a couple months ago, right, or a couple weeks ago at least, or the Giants teams that won, you know, the World Series. And Brandon Belt said, this year, not even close. And she said, how can you say that? This team hasn't won anything yet. And he said, to the point you just made, he said, we don't have any D-bags on this team, right?
Yeah.
So that's incredible. And you can just see it. You can see in the body language. The thing I really notice about the Giants here, as the games get more and more tense, right, there's so much at stake, and they bring in, you know, Castro comes in, and who's this guy? And there's just no fear, right? There is no fear, no nervousness. There's intensity, but they just, this team, they fear nothing, even though they're far outstripping any of their expectations.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful to see, honestly. And it's just like, as we go, this week is going to be the most, Tracy said, her nerves. Same with me. I mean, like, I tune into all these games now. It feels like every day from here on out is a playoff game.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It's high intensity. And what I've noticed, none of these teams are laying down for the Dodgers or the Giants. Like, all these wins seem either hard fought, close, and I feel like it's going to be like that until next Sunday when we get to the final season. I'm hoping we avoid that one game playoff just to even decide who's the wild card. That's, you know, then you start using pitchers that you need and you'll want in a series. Just let's just get there. Let's win this division outright by Sunday. Hopefully there's another champagne shower, Bud Lights, whatever they drink in Oracle Park to celebrate that NL West division title. Hopefully we don't have to go to the – I don't want any parts of the one-game stuff, Whitey. No parts.
It would be very exciting, but I'm with you for this reason. It would be so unfair to these two teams, the two best teams in baseball, and it's kind of unfair in a way. That's just the way it's set up. I get it. You got to win your division, but it's already unfair that one of them is going to be a wild card team, right? But it's even more unfair if they got to play that extra game to determine who plays in the wild card.
Yeah, because I mean, you're think using one does. Of your arms.
Yeah, exactly. So that would really be a shame for the two best teams in baseball. So I hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, it's going to be so dramatic. And high drama tomorrow at Levi's Stadium with the 49ers taking on the Packers. Yeah, there was chatter this week about, oh, Aaron Rodgers, and maybe he almost came here, and I agree with Tracy based on what we know. The 49ers may have kicked a few tires, but it wasn't close to happening. But, Jason, what do you make of the renewed conversation this week that the 49ers really at one point did want to draft Mac Jones?
It's interesting, you know. It's interesting chatter. First of all, I don't think super highly of Mac Jones. I think he can – like, I think he can be a nice little game manager. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy at all. Mm-hmm. I think Trey Lance is just simply going to have a higher ceiling and is going to end up being better. So I'm happy they didn't draft Mac Jones, but it is interesting. I think what's more interesting, though, Whitey, is the point you brought up a little earlier. What if they had have just kept some of those picks and traded – for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I'm listening to that and I'm like, you know what? That's intriguing and almost sounds like something they probably should have done instead. But
yeah,
we're hindsight's 20/20, but Sam Darnold looks really good.
We'll see how he looks obviously without McCaffrey, but as far as the Mac Jones stuff goes, and I've said this before, and I based on the evidence out there and what was saying who was saying what before the draft and what they were saying. I do think there was a time when Kyle was strongly considering Mac Jones. I don't think we'll ever know because I think it's in the best interest of the organization not to revisit that. It's just like, you know, and they made their decision. And he, I do think somebody in the organization had to get him to see big picture and convince him Mac Jones is probably not the best picker. And Kyle, to his credit, if that's true, I believe it is for a number of reasons. If it's true, that's to his credit that he was able to look at it and say, okay, I see where you're going there. So I do think that there was a time when they were strongly considering Mac Jones. Did they make the right choice? We'll see. I'm with you. I don't know that Mac Jones is going to be a better quarterback than Trey Lance. Are they a little disappointed that Trey Lance isn't further along? Maybe, but as long as he at some point, you know, assimilates, it doesn't matter at this point because they're still winning. But yeah, Sam Darnold, I know there were a lot of people. I know Sean Salisbury doing the football show here on our station last year. He was saying Sam Darnold's a really good quarterback. And I was thinking last year, you know, before we knew that they were involved with Stafford, it's like, hey, if you want a guy who can upgrade your quarterback situation and won't cost a lot, Sam Darnold's probably a really good candidate. But, you know, obviously it looks better right now because they've won three games.
Yeah, like, you know, I said it earlier in the show, this Trey Lance experiment isn't a one-year experiment. It's a three-year experiment, let's say. It's way too premature to judge and critique and throw people under the bus. We don't need Trey Lance to be a finished product this year. We don't even need him to step on the field. If all goes right, and Kyle Shanahan has said this, why don't we just listen to what this man is telling us? If all goes right, we won't even need Trey Lance this year. We have Jimmy Garoppolo, and we do believe that we can win a Super Bowl with him, but we do want a long-term starter in place for when the Jimmy Garoppolo era is over, and that is going to be Trey Lance, and we are going to groom him in the meantime. We might throw him in and have him do this and that if the situation calls for it, but ultimately, we do have a quarterback in front of him. Kyle Shanahan never even said this is a quarterback competition. You know, people like us made it into that, but it's so funny. It's so simple. Just listen to what the coach is saying, because everything he has said, it's playing out exactly how he said it would. So this shouldn't even be a conundrum for people.
Yeah, I'm with you. He will tell. Obviously, coaches obfuscate sometimes whatever is going on with Ayuk. It's, you know, the coach's that's his duty is to kind of, you know, toe the company line. And if something's going on with Ayuk, if he missed curfew, he's not going to tell you about it. But as far as the other stuff, yeah, you pay attention to what he tells you. He's telling you what he's thinking and what he's going to do. On the text line here, by the way, 888-957-9570, text of the day winner. We mentioned earlier, Jason, the Jimmy Gagatigo nickname. The guy who came up with that, apparently it's the guy who came up with Unskill and McFlinchy. Oh. It's C.J. Robinson who has come up with all those nicknames, and Jimmy Gagatigo is his newest. And even I'm a Jimmy G backer, but even I got to say, that's well played right there. So text of the day winner, C.J. Robinson, who's come up with Daniel Unskill, Mike McFlinchy, and now Jimmy Gagatigo. Well played, sir, and thank you for listening.
He's creative. Way to go, CJ. Way to go. I don't want to know your nickname from me.
Appreciate that. Up next, Maple Jordan is denied a medical exemption. Where does that leave the Warriors? That's next with Jason Dumas and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I used to sing this song
That's
to my daughters
track.
When they were little girls. Every bath you take, I'll be washing you. Whitey Gleason, Jason
Classic
Dumas
song.
on 95.7 The Game. As we mentioned, as you probably know by now, Andrew Wiggins of Maple Jordan has been denied a medical exemption on a vaccination. So he remains unvaccinated, which would mean he would be unavailable to play in Warrior home game. So we'll dive into that. Before we do, I just wanted to circle back, Jason, and address something that I'd thrown out at you with so much talk about, you know, quarterbacks and Jimmy G and Trey Lance and Aaron Rodgers coming in tomorrow night to Levi's. You, weeks ago, it introduced the topic of the most overrated quarterbacks, and it was a lot of fun. So I just was wondering if anybody would come to mind as far as the most
underrated quarterback? Anybody in NFL history come to mind if I were to ask you to name the most underrated quarterback in NFL history?
Okay, so like I said, most overrated quarterback in NFL history is Troy Aikman. I stand on that.
There's your Eagle fandom showing again.
I still believe it. Most underrated quarterback of all time, I'd say Steve McNair.
Wow.
Steve McNair.
What a great call.
He was a great quarterback. He doesn't get all the credit. God rest his soul, but Steve McNair, most underrated quarterback of all time.
Did get to a Super Bowl. Can I mention a guy and see what you think of my candidate?
Yeah. As,
and I'm not saying this is definitely the most underrated, but I think he belongs in the conversation. And in fact, this week, and Sam pointed this out to me, this week marked the 20th anniversary of the day he got hurt and lost his job to a pretty famous quarterback. Drew Bledsoe, I would nominate as one of the most underrated quarterbacks. Like McNair, took his team to the Super Bowl, lost, played for a long time, threw for 4,000 yards three different times in his career. I think he was in the Pro Bowl like three times, was no big deal. So, again, I'm not saying great, but I think Drew Bledsoe is an underrated quarterback. Did you know he threw with Buffalo 2002, he threw for 4,359 yards with Buffalo.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe was a stud. You know, it's a shame, you know, he got hurt and he gave someone else an opportunity to do his job better than him. And Tom Brady seized that moment. Drew Bledsoe could play too. But Drew Bledsoe can play. He had a great arm, very smart, took care of the ball too. I was always a Bledsoe fan. I still am.
Okay. If you got any thoughts on that, you care to share, hey, 888-957-9570. Great answer, Jason. Thank you. Steve McNair. In the meantime, back to Andrew Wiggins. So Andrew Wiggins remains unvaccinated, and the San Francisco rules, such as they are, would stipulate that he can't play in home games. Where do you think this leaves the Warriors? And, you know, I don't want to get into a conversation that I think belongs on, you know, maybe not on these airwaves about whether they should or shouldn't, what it means to be vaccinated.
Right.
Those are all very important issues, I realize, vitally important. But I just don't think that's what we're here to do. So where does the Wiggins situation, where does it leave the Warriors, and what do you think they can do about it?
It's tough. Like, the Warriors in a bad spot. I actually, you know, I was thinking this yesterday. The Warriors knew this was coming. The city announced this new ordinance like months ago at this point, and the date was chosen. As soon as they got a sense that Andrew Wiggins was resisting getting vaccinated, they should have been calling every team in the NBA to trade him. Because now they're in a spot where it's like, all right, camp starts Monday, and this guy still is not vaccinated. As it stands of today, he's only eligible to play in 41 games. He can't even be in the building in certain situations if there's over 1,000 people, when we're not even talking game or not. So now teams know that too. You know, like, teams know if Bob Myers picks up his phone to trade Andrew Wiggins, teams know that they're desperate. Like, they have to trade him. So they're going to get back 40 cents on the dollar of what they could. What I think, Whitey, I think ultimately he's going to get vaccinated because, I mean, like, honest question, what other choice does he have?
Right. I tend to agree with you, and I read that somewhere. There seems to be a thought that, yeah, he's probably going to end up getting vaccinated, and that's what I think is most likely. And obviously, if it comes to that, then okay, no issue. But obviously, it would cause a real conundrum for them. And I know some people like Stephen A. came out this week, and they should trade him. And you just pointed out, well, you know, it's not that easy.
It's not that
you can't,
easy.
Yeah. And, you know, I know a lot of people, well, trade him for Ben Simmons then. Well, no, Philly doesn't want Wiggins for Ben Simmons. So, yeah, you can't do that. I think it's probably going to get taken care of, and I think he's probably going to realize, or you know, they're going to press upon him the importance of getting the shot, and we'll see. That's it. I'm just looking at it from the basketball perspective. If he doesn't, for whatever reason, then that's going to be a really big issue for the Warriors basketball-wise.
Question for you, Whitey. Do you think he shows up to Media Day on Monday? He can, because the ordinance doesn't go into effect until October 13th. So he is eligible to, like, he can go to Media Day on Monday. Do you, like, does he show up? Part of me thinks the Warriors are going to be like, you better show up. You're going to answer for this. Because I think the Warriors are banking on some public pressure to get him to fold.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me thinks, yeah, they're going to be like, no, you have to show up and you're going to have to answer to this. This is a reality. But another part of me is like, Wiggins going to be like, I don't want any parts of that.
Right. My guess would be that there are going to be, and I'm not going to media day. If I were and he were there and I know he's unvaccinated, I wouldn't want to talk to him. My guess is there would be members of the media who would be reluctant to speak to him because of the fact that he's unvaccinated. So I think the Warriors look at that. My guess would be that they would say, you know, it's not like he's going to be begging to go. I don't think he'll be there because of that.
Well, I'll be there on Monday. I'll be there Monday, 10 a.m.
Good for you. I'd be very interested to hear what he had to say if he is there. My guess would be, I mean, what if he was there and then someone got sick and you wouldn't know? It's unlikely, but they just don't need that can of worms open. Unless he decides, and then even if he decides to get vaccinated, there's still the issue of, okay, at what point then is he cleared? Because it's not like you take a shot and then, boom, you're good to go. So I think it depends. If he decides to get vaccinated, Jason, it depends on which vaccination he wants to get. Because the one shot would mean if you just get the single shot, you're eligible to play sooner than if you get the two. So that's another factor here in this vaccination question.
Well, you got to also realize these guys are getting tested pretty regularly. So I wouldn't be so concerned of being around him because he's unvaccinated. Number one, I'm vaccinated, but two, like, he's getting tested by the Warriors at nauseam. Yeah. So if he tested positive, obviously he wouldn't be there. So I have no reason to assume that just because he's there and I'm vaccinated that, you know, he could present
a risk.
But it's just crazy. And like you said, without getting too much down the rabbit hole, I don't see his play. Like, you will lose so much money. There will be a stain on your reputation. Like, whether you think it's fair or not, it's just a reality. These NBA owners, GMs, they're a fraternity. If he screws over the Warriors and says, I'm not getting this vaccination, it is what it is, that's going to follow him around for the rest of his career. These owners are close with one another. They don't like losing money. They don't like being bullied and put into a bad position. This is not something like this. Just there's so many downfalls to his choice right now. He's losing money. He can screw over his team and his teammates.
Right.
And by all accounts, he's really liked in the locker room. I was told all his teammates love him. All his teammates have been trying to get him to get vaccinated. The Warriors have sent various doctors his way to explain how the vaccine works, why it works, what he should do, what he shouldn't do. And, you know, it hasn't gone through to him. But I just don't see any upside of him really standing firm on this. And like you said, the NBA already has denied a religious waiver for him. I don't know what religion Andrew Wiggins is, but the NBA has denied that already. So apparently he hasn't shown enough faith, no pun intended, to have them consider it. It's just, it's a real interesting situation. It's an unfortunate situation because we don't want to be in this. It's an uncomfortable conversation for anybody. I mean, you know, some more than others think it shouldn't be uncomfortable. But like I said, no need to get down that rabbit hole. But just in a general sense, nobody wants to be here. Like, nobody wants to be living through a pandemic. This turned everyone's lives upside down. It affected everyone. It's unfortunate, but it's just the reality of the situation. And it's a life that we're going to have to navigate one way or another. And this is just part of that navigation. You have a star player on a basketball team playing in a city that won't allow him to play if he's unvaccinated, and he's standing strong on it as of yesterday. That's the last time I looked into it, and you know, as of yesterday he was unvaccinated. So who knows, maybe he got his shot this morning, maybe he didn't. But when it starts affecting the team, that's when we can start talking about it, because we cover the Golden State Warriors. If there's a chance that they don't have their third best player, I would say probably on the roster playing, and available in 41 of their 82 games, that is something we have to talk about, just plain and simple.
Right, and it's there's only so much light we can shed on it, obviously, because so much of this is not our business. You know, like, well, why doesn't he want to get vaccinated? It's none of our business. And, you know, and the Warriors have been, obviously, and there's our legalities involved. There's only so much they can say about it. So we'll see. But I agree with you 100%. I think when you look big picture, it's tough to see how he benefits. You know, and he may just be, maybe he has in his mind a great reason, and he's just, you know, locked in on I'm not getting it. We'll find out soon enough. But I would think most likely he'll be convinced that it's in everyone's best interest if you do. We'll see. You mentioned something that I know Craig mentioned earlier today, and I think it's a great point. I think Anthony Slater may have mentioned it as well. Let's say that he doesn't play for whatever reason, and, you know, they're losing games at home that he's not playing in, and that obviously could wreak havoc with your your team chemistry, right? If you got guys on teams like, hey, be nice to have you out there.
You think Draymond is just going to kind of sit around saying, it's okay. You know, Draymond's never one to bite his tongue. Things could get really uncomfortable, but I don't think it's going to get to that point. Like, my brain can't allow me to, like, try to even, you know, contextualize it because, like, I'm still at the stage where I'm like, there's no way it gets to that point, right? Like, you can't, it's hard to fathom. Like, if maybe a month from now he's still unvaccinated and he's actually missing home games because of it.
Yeah, not to mix my metaphors, I agree with you, but I'm still more confident at this point that Jimmy G does not throw an interception tomorrow night than I am that Wiggins gets vaccinated. I mean, we'll see, but I'm still more confident, and I still want to make that bet with you that Jimmy G does not throw an interception tonight, and hopefully he throws no interceptions, and hopefully Wiggins gets taken care of.
I'll take that bet.
Fine.
I'll take really. That bet. And like, one more thing on the whole Wiggins trade. It's also going to be a little awkward because we kind of went through this last year, but the Warriors aren't allowed to comment on specific players and their vaccination status.
Right.
So, like,
right.
How do you navigate this situation in a press conference on Monday? Is Bob just going to come out with a statement? Hey, we know the situation. We're not allowed to comment on it because of rules. Because
that's all you can do, though, right? I mean, that's the only option.
I've already inquired, like, trying to get to the bottom of this, and I was told straight up, Raymond Ritter, mm-hmm. The head of the Warriors media relations, amazing at his job, amazing guy. He said, Jason, we can't speak specifically on a player, because I asked straight up, will Andrew Wiggins be at media day on Monday? He said, we can't comment on that. But what I will say is that protocol or ordinance, whatever the proper term is, I'm probably been getting it wrong all show, but someone smarter than me, let me know in the text line. But whatever it is, it does not go into effect until October 13th. So it doesn't matter vaccination status as of right now. So he was telling me without telling me he can be there. He's eligible to be there. He wouldn't tell me if he is or not. But my point is, we can't even discuss it with Bob and Steve and the players.
Right.
They're not allowed to talk about it. So it's going to be interesting, the responses we get and just the overall. Media Day is going to be wild. We'll put it that way. Or we can get there Monday and they can be like, Andrew Wiggins got a shot yesterday.
Yep, we're good.
And then all this is moot.
You got HIPAA laws, too. You know, an employer can't give information on an employee's status, with a health status, whatever it is, without their, you know, go-ahead.
Right.
That even applies. You know, we get mad sometimes about football teams. A guy gets hurt, and, well, we deserve to know what's wrong with them. And it's illegal. Unless the player's okay with them sharing it, it's illegal for them to do that.
Right.
That's just where we are. So fingers crossed. What do you make here, speaking, again, of the basketball aspect of this, that for the 15th roster spot now, here's where the Warriors are. Isaiah Thomas worked out. Reports where he worked out and comported himself well, pardon me, but that it's not to be. He's going to move on and try to find another situation. So you got Avery Bradley, right, and you got Langston Galloway, and you got Jordan Bell, and they'll all be competing, presumably with Mulder and Gary Payton II, for that 15th roster spot. I would think that the Warriors would love for Avery Bradley to show, hey, I'm still Avery Bradley. There's a lot he could contribute if he's anywhere near what he used to be when he was with Boston. But I think that's where it is right now. So you got some – there's still some veterans in here vying for that final roster spot.
Yeah, and don't forget, I mean, he ultimately chose Boston, and I believe that opened up a spot for Avery Bradley. But Ryan Archidiakono – I always butcher his name, but he signed –
Archidiakono?
Archidiakono. Ryan Archidiakono. I should know him. He's a Philly guy. Went to Nova. Yeah. I know who he is. I just always butcher his last name.
That's a tough one.
He worked out, multi-day workout with the Warriors, and he ultimately decided to go to training camp in Boston. But I know he was an option for them as well, but it just didn't play out the way the Warriors had hoped. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know a lot of Dub Nation is really rooting for Gary Payton II to get that last roster spot just because of the film – for a lot of different purposes. You know, he's a Bay Area kid. His dad's a Bay Area guy. You know, everybody loves his pop, and that, who's now coaching at Lincoln University. They have their media day on Wednesday, by the way. Gary Payton coaching the new basketball team at Lincoln. A lot of Dub Nation is rooting for Gary Payton. Me, I think probably if everyone's healthy, the best option would be Avery Bradley because of just, you know, his
– I agree.
Everything he's done. I was going to say because of what he can do on the defensive end, but Gary Payton II is a dog on the defensive end too. Jordan Bell, you know, we've been there, done that, seen that. I think he's going to end up on, you know, the outside looking in. It's interesting that Isaiah Thomas hasn't really been able to land anywhere.
He gives up so much defensively though, Jason. He's phenomenal. You know, I was in Sacramento.
And he's a ball stopper. Like he's gonna dribble the leather off the ball. And do you really is that conducive on a team trying to win? Like but Langston Galloway, he's interesting as well though, Whitey. Like, I actually got to know Langston when I was working in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's Langston Galloway's hometown. I interviewed him a bunch, hung out with him a little bit. He played at St. Joe's University in Philly with one of my closest friends. He's an A-plus human being, and he's had some great years in the NBA. So it's going to come down between Avery and Langston, and I actually think that's going to be a hell of a battle if you ask me. And, you know, Mulder – yeah, it's tough. Mulder had his moments, but he didn't really seize all his opportunities the way I think he should have or could have. And Gary Payton, who knows if the familiarity can be enough to get him to stick. But it's going to be an interesting battle.
Yeah, I think the deal on Mulder is that, you know, he's a shooter. And he at times was a pretty good shooter, and other times he was not such a great shooter. And a guy like that, when that's your skill set at that level, obviously you got to just be deadly.
You got to hit your open shots.
Yeah, you just got it. And sometimes he did, and sometimes he didn't. And it's like, well, he just got to shoot better because that's his calling card. Right. And he's still going to have an opportunity here. What's really interesting about the situation to me is this. A couple weeks ago, we were all assuming that, and you mentioned Archidiakono, we were assuming the Warriors were looking for a backup point guard, right? And I think they had even said, either directly or through back channels, yeah, you know, Steph needs some help. But apparently, and I think Anthony Slater reported on this, apparently Jordan Poole has been playing so well here in workouts that they've decided, you know what, he's going to be able to spell Steph. He can run the offense when Steph's not on the floor. He and Draymond and Iguodala to a degree. So the Warriors no longer are focusing so much on that backup point guard. And that's why all of a sudden they went from some of the names we'd heard to, wait a minute, Avery Bradley and Jordan Bell and Langston Galloway, what's going on here? So their priorities have shifted. They're also not really looking for another big. Jordan Bell would address that, but they're comfortable, even with Wiseman hurt, with what they have because they're going to go small a lot. So bottom line, this again speaks to how well a guy that I really haven't given enough credit to, Jordan Poole, how well he has played and how he has turned his career around. He's turned the perception of the team he plays for around, and he's turned his whole career around now in the space of, a season and a half?
Yeah, the Warriors needed Jordan Poole to pan out in the worst of ways. Could you imagine what type of situation they'd be in if Jordan Poole wasn't good? It would be ugly. You know, they stuck with him, and now he's confident too. He can really get going. And, you know, they don't exactly play the same, but he can be like a Lou Williams for the Warriors
for the next
5-6 years. And, you know, he's been playing great in the summer by all accounts. Everyone I've talked to within the organization has nothing but praise. And apparently his work ethic is like at a different level. Like they almost have to kick the kid out the gym.
Good for him.
Yeah. You know, so if they believe that, you know, the guard help that they thought they needed isn't really as high of a need as they originally thought because of Poole's emergence, you know, so be it. I believe it. You know, he was taking some of the biggest shots on the team down the stretch.
Yep. I really haven't given him enough credit, as I said, but I do remember this. His first preseason here before he had, you know, a terrible rookie year and they had to send him down, he really struggled. But I remember noticing early on that, wow, he's fearless. He'll take the big shots. And, of course, that was kind of his calling card in the NCAA tournament. He made a, you know, big shot or two. So that is one thing, and he's carried that on. He's playing better now, and he's just absolutely – there's no shot that he's afraid to take.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing with these guys. You know, how do they perform when the bright lights are on? And even though the Warriors season – ended the way a lot of people hoped it wouldn't in that play-in round and not even getting in the play-in round, losing that heartbreaker to the Lakers. That's big game experience, though, that you really want your young guys to have. Like, that games like that is what sharpens Jordan Poole's teeth, you know? And he'll be better because of it. And it'll be interesting to see. The Warriors have an intriguing roster. I mean, at the end of the day, though, we can talk ad nauseum about this roster, Whitey. I think ultimately the season hangs on how Klay comes back. I think we can agree on that. We can talk about everything, this player, that player, this player. None of it is really going to matter if Klay Thompson isn't at least 80% of the vintage Klay Thompson that we came to know and love.
I agree, and I was talking earlier about how Tampa Bay last year, the Bucks at the end of the year by the Super Bowl, they were not the same team. St. Louis Cardinals right now with, 15 straight wins, they're not the same team they were earlier in the year. I think if things play out the way the Warriors hope they will, that they, by March and April, will be a much better team than the one we're going to see early in the year. Not to say they'll be bad, but I think given Klay's situation and the fact that they've got some guys that got to play together, learn how to play together, I think there's every chance for this team, by the time the playoffs roll around, to be a much better team and a really scary team than they're going to be when the season starts, Jason.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. In the meantime, though, and this kind of got them in a funk last year and had them in the position they were in, having to fight to make it to playoffs in that playing round, they can't drop the ball early, though. Even though you're banking on late Klay in the – you're banking on Klay developing late in the season and getting his legs fully under him. You don't want to get to a point where it's like, all right, we got Klay. He finally got his groove, but we have to make up all these games because we're sitting at ninth and we got to get up. You know, that's what really hurt the Warriors last year. They started playing their best basketball towards the end of the season for sure, but they had dug themselves in a hole and, you know, they had to fight for their lives just to make the playoffs, and they didn't make it, you know? So even though you want them trending in the right direction towards the end of the season, you have to realize that every game counts the same. Game number one counts the exact same as game 82.
And here's what's coming up. Yeah, so, I'm sorry.
No,
Jason,
you're good. You're good. Yeah. And we're heading into break, but you got to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what's coming up. We got a few nominees here for the most underrated quarterback of all time. And I'm thinking of whether or not I should mention Eli Manning, but I'm afraid that might cause some kind of outcry. Anyway, we'll look at the nominees for the most underrated quarterback of all time and the very latest in the Ben Simmons soap opera. Coming up next with Jason Dumas and Whitey Gleason on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,